You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. 3:02 on your Monday. Halfway through the week. A wild week here at Big Orange Country. Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Russell.
Almost. Almost. I thought it was going to happen today. We're getting there, though.
What?
Oh, yeah. Well, you missed it, of course, yesterday when I went to you and there was like 10 seconds of dead air before it occurred to us that, oh, he's not there. He's probably asleep. And I used that time to riff.
You could have looked down at Skype and noticed that my symbol wasn't there.
I'm not on Skype, you dullard.
I'm
sitting here in front of a microphone.
A third member of our little troika can.
I used that time to pontificate. One day, I'm going to start this show, and I'm going to say, hello, good afternoon, and welcome, Bear. What's going on? And you're just going to respond immediately with no sort of delay, no hitch, no pause. I'm doing great, Russ. How are you? And they're just going to be off and running. It's going to be fantastic. Didn't it happen today?
I had it on mute, man. I was finishing up watching something.
go ahead. Like, if you need this time to finish your TV show, don't let us interrupt you.
The concert.
If you want to finish the concert, go ahead. Like, don't let us interrupt you with the silly radio show. I mean, we're only in the midst of a complete and total wreckage.
What? Complete and total wreckage? They're going to, why even get yourself worked up, man? Seriously.
Oh, we're doing this one today? Calm, cool, and collected Bear. That's the Bear we're getting this afternoon.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I like that Bear.
I mean, you pull music on, just chillax, just chill.
Okay.
He's coming back. That's what I think now. I've resigned myself to it.
He's not coming back.
I think Germ's coming back.
No, he's not. What are you doing?
Being realistic, man. Why'd they let him hire Kevin Steele?
They didn't. Let me bring Trey in first, because I'm going all in on my theory here. Trey, good afternoon. What's going on?
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Hope y'all are doing okay.
Doing well. Thank you. What? Trey's just like going to sign on and sign off simultaneously. See you, Trey. I think they're pulling the old switcheroo on us, man. I think they're sneaking Kevin Steele in there. This is not...
By going through the front door?
Yeah,
how are they sneaking him in?
It's a side door.
Yeah, but it's right in front of everybody. Fulmer's waved everybody and said,
sometimes,
yeah, I'm bringing this guy in.
Sometimes that's the best way to do it. It's just right in front of everybody. They say that there's no way they would do that. It's like, yeah, we're doing it. You're watching it happen right now. Here's my prediction, and this is just gut feeling, informed by some fact that we've seen come out, namely the investigation and what we know about it, but just me also connecting dots. I think they're going to fire Jeremy Pruitt this weekend, here in the next couple of days. I think they're going to name Kevin Steele the interim coach. I think they're going to say, this thing is too volatile right now. Wanya Morris just entered the transfer portal today. We can't have a coaching search. We can't bring somebody new in here. We're going to use one of our own, Kevin Steele, VFL, to hold this thing together. And they might say he's an interim coach, or they might just give him the job. I don't know. But I think this ends with them. We're getting Matt looped here, is what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, in that eventuality, Russ, I really think that if that's the case, then Fulmer needs to go ahead and get his stuff packed up too, and he can leave with Jeremy.
Did I say today was Monday?
Maybe. Is it just now dawning on you 10 minutes into the show?
Did I say today was Monday? I don't think I said today was Monday. Somebody told me.
I hope you didn't. I hope it's not Monday. God bless.
It is feel like Groundhog Day.
The Truman Show deal.
It does feel like Groundhog Day covering this program, for sure.
I did.
I mean, I don't know. That would be my thoughts on it. If that's what they decide to do, and it's that unstable, I don't see how Coach Fulmer keeps his job. I mean, it's happened on his watch.
Because stability.
If you're saying it's so fragile because of, you know, we can't even go hire a coach, then I'm sorry. I mean, Coach Fulmer, as much as I love him, I feel like, in my opinion, he'd need to step down.
Well, that's the thing. How do you have an athletics director search and a coaching search simultaneously?
Just try to pull off what they did 4 years ago.
They didn't pull it off.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look where we are.
It was an utter and catastrophic failure. On a. I know I keep going back to it, and so does my buddy HK on Three and Out. But I mean, he's overseen a Chernobyl level disaster here. It is catastrophic failure of leadership and any kind of judgment.
Okay, so here's the thing that we keep coming back to, guys, about Pruitt. Like, how does he survive this? And the only way he does is if he can pin it all on Niedermeyer and maybe a couple of the lower level recruiting assistants, GAs, people like that, and just say, well, I didn't know what was going on. Like, if he could do that, maybe he can survive. Maybe he can still do that. I don't know. I kind of doubt it, but that's got to be his play here. But hold on.
Okay.
We say, how can Pruitt hold on?
Response for that
how
one.
Can Pruitt hold on by pinning it all on his underlings? How can Fulmer hold on by pinning it all on Pruitt? So he's going to say, look, how does he get to stay in power with Kevin Steele as his head coach without having to go on a coaching search because he knows he can't do that because of how disastrous the last one turned out? Blame it all on Jeremy Pruitt. I didn't know what Jeremy Pruitt was doing. I didn't know what kind of program he was running. He snowed me just like he snowed everyone else. We're gonna rally the troops here. We're going to bring in Kevin Steele. We're going to keep Jay Graham on staff, maybe T. Martin. We're going to VFL this thing up and circle the wagons.
Yeah, there's a serious flaw in the logic behind that argument, though.
Okay.
Both of them make excess, and in Pruitt's case, way in excess of $1 million to get paid. He's supposed to be overseeing the whole thing. And Fulmer, in turn, has paid over $1 million, you know, to oversee that Pruitt's doing his job.
Yeah.
You can't use that.
Well,
you can't with a straight face.
So who hires the new coach?
I mean, honest to God, at this point, best case scenario would be Randy Boyd. And, you know, some combination of, you know, the less cooks in the kitchen, the better in my mind. I would get, you know, one or two boosters and then, you know, maybe one or two former players that carry a lot of weight. I mean, we all know the names.
Trey, what do you think? Are we getting, as I put it, Matt Luked this afternoon? I have a funny feeling about this Kevin Steele thing. It makes about zero sense to me.
I mean, I don't know if you're getting Matt Luked right now, but you might be Matt Luked after 3 or 4 games into the season if it gets to that point. Like, it all feels like I'll keep going back on it, man. It kind of just feels like the whole Les Miles at LSU thing. He didn't really have any support. They brought him back anyways, and then 3 games into the year, they let him go. Like, I just have that weird, and I'm not saying that's happening or anything like that, but just you've set yourself up now for if you do that, and okay, you have to do it, but I don't know. I don't know why you bring, I don't know why you just open the front door and bring him in. But I also know that, and I was told this last night, that the chancellor kind of understood that if you got this person for the cheap and somebody in there with that much experience and has been around the, not around this program, but has been around the SEC and has learned so much and is valuable and can be used, then that was brought up. Like if they have to move on or something like that, then that is somebody that can be able to take over the reins. That was used when talking. And Kevin Steele knows that.
Of course he does. I mean, I'm not buying this narrative. Oh, like he had nowhere else to go. It's Kevin Steele, man. He's 62. He's still in his prime coaching years. He's still got some good time left here, coming off a pretty successful stint at Auburn. They were, what, 6-4? This past year, a defense wasn't terrible by any stretch of the imagination. He's very well respected as a recruiter, knows the SEC through and through. He could have gone lots of places. Why come here to be a part of a staff that you're not even sure is going to be intact for another week?
Because you're still making over $4 million.
Yeah, but he could have. But he's going to be making that anywhere. He's going to be making that anywhere he goes. Why come here? I get that. Why come here?
Because maybe he was the second choice for Fulmer back in the day.
There you go.
I'm not putting it past Phillip Fulmer. That Phillip Fulmer was the one that put out the first feeler, and then Jeremy Pruitt was on board for it. You can't take that out of the realm of possibility.
Well,
yes, this was a Jeremy Pruitt hire.
Well,
nobody's disagreeing with that.
Okay, Coach Matthews. Shout out to Doug Matthews doing the heavy lifting in Nashville this week, man. That was really special. I did not hear it, but you've all seen the midday 180 tweet, I take it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Doug Matthews on the midday 180, quote, Kevin Steele was hired by Jeremy Pruitt. Let me repeat this slowly because some refuse to listen. I think he's talking to us. He was hired by Jeremy Pruitt. End quote.
Wait, but he said that? I didn't see that.
You didn't see the tweet from the at midday 180, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Like very, I did not hear it. So sometimes you lose a little bit in tone. But if he said it the way they wrote it, it was very heavy handed.
Okay, Philip. I mean, Doug.
Do you just assume that everything Doug Matthews says
absolutely
is Phillip Fulmer's opinion?
Yes, absolutely. I do. And that's not a knock. He's got a great source. You got a good source, but I just feel like they check notes before he goes on the air. And he said that so many times. I mean, he's talked about friends with Phillip Fulmer, you know.
Fulmer's like the emperor in Star Wars. He can use these people to say exactly what he wants. That's pretty darn cool, man. I mean, you got mouthpieces, and then you've got that, like, where you can literally
he's like,
speak through somebody else.
I mean, he just comes out, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, does anybody really pay that much attention to Doug Matthews anymore? I'm not trying to knock him, but I kind of am.
Recruits do.
He's carved out a nice little niche for himself in the media. So he's also independently wealthy. I mean, he's a businessman, former football coach and everything. But he does this as a hobby, and I think it's well known. He's very tight with Coach Fulmer, and I'm sure they speak often. 865.
I don't see if they find anything, Russ. I don't see how straight face they can bring either one of them back. Be real honest with you.
865-546-8200. 546-8200 if you want to hop on the G3 Help Me hotline this afternoon. We'll go to open it up. We've got Josh Pate of 247 coming on in hour number two. We'll go open lines this hour. Yes, Trey.
Well, I mean, I feel like we've kind of buried the lead today, but I was also just going to add that Brandon Johnson has decided to transfer to UCF. Former Tennessee wide receiver.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. And also, there's a certain head coach that's flirted with UCF, assistant coach at Tennessee over the last 2 days. So maybe this is making sense.
Well, who's that?
Listen to what he just said. Who's Brandon Johnson? What position does he play?
Wide receiver. Okay.
So, are y'all surprised about the whole the Wanye thing? Like, I know we're going to get into it, but you know, just whenever he went to the jumbo package, and it was kind of like for some reason Jahmyr Johnson beat him out. Like, I just thought that kid had a lot of potential, and I just don't think he was coached up well enough over the last 2 years. I think that's obvious, but man, that's a loss. That's a loss.
Is he gone anywhere? Is he just in the portal?
He's in the portal. He ain't coming back. This ain't going to be like a Schamburger thing, I'm pretty sure. Jeremy Pruitt and that staff have been trying to keep him from putting in his paperwork since last Friday. And I guess that didn't work. So he finally put it in.
No, I agree with you, Trey. I think he's – listen, I don't know much about – X's and O's, player identify, you know, talent, what do you call it? The ability to spot talent, identify talent, whatever that is in recruiting. But even a dullard like me can tell. You see Wanye Morris come out on the field with his size and then his ability to move the way he does. It's like, yeah, that guy is an NFL offensive lineman. You have to develop him. You have to get him in the weight room, and he's got to change his body. He's too big in the lower half, not big enough in the upper half. And then, obviously, he needs the experience of playing and being coached up and learn. But, I mean, Tennessee failed him. I would probably leave if I were him, too. You played 2 years here, and you ended the second year on the bench. And I know he had a hip operation, and like he's been banged up a little bit. I get all that, but – Tennessee did not develop him the way I'm sure they promised that they would develop him in the recruiting process. I would probably look at going to Florida, Oklahoma too.
As somebody close to Wanye told me just a second ago, he wants to be better and feels he should have been further along.
Yeah, he's right.
During his time at Tennessee, and that was literally 3 minutes ago.
He's right.
Yeah, I agree with him.
And I mean, I just wish that Coach Fulmer or Kevin Steele, and maybe they've tried this, could get in from him and say, dude, just wait. Like, you're a five-star elite offensive line prospect. The offers that you're getting from Florida and Oklahoma and whoever else is trying to tamper with us right now, like, that's always going to be there for you. You can go, whether you go today, a month from now, or 3 months from now, you're going to be – all those offers will be there for you because you're that talented a prospect. Just wait and see what happens. And if Jeremy Pruitt survives and they keep him, then by all means, get off that sinking ship. But I don't think that's going to happen. It's going to be a new coach here. You're going to have a new position coach.
Not going to be a high-dollar coach.
And just let's see what happens. See what happens. Give the new guy a chance. And if you don't like him, then by all means, it's a free country. You can bail. But, I mean, that's all you can do. And how sad is that? That's where we are. That we're just begging our elite prospects to stick around for the next guy. It's a bummer. All right. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Just scratching the surface. Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Boy, poor Shane Beamer. I just can't hold his staff together. Tracy Rocker back on the move. Yeah, 1 year stop off in Columbia. It'll be his third stint at Auburn.
What's going on? We really missed him this year. Speaking of coaches.
Yep.
You know.
I was kind of hoping they might be able to get him back. Although I guess we'd all take Rodney Garner over Kevin Steele, correct? I'm sorry. All these guys are the same, man. You talk about retread Central. They just
Rodney Garner over Tracy Rocker,
Kevin Steele, Jeremy Pruitt, Kevin Scherer, Chris Rumpf. They just go around and around. You mix one here. Oh, we're going to plug this guy in at Florida. He's going to go to Tennessee next year, but then he'll go to Alabama, then he'll go to Auburn, then he'll go back to Tennessee, then he'll go back to Florida. We just shuffle these dudes around. Where's it? We need some new blood.
We'd have been better off if you want to build a solid staff. The thing about Garner is he can coach something besides D line.
Really?
You get him. I don't think so. He's coached other positions.
He has. Rodney Garner.
I thought he had. Maybe I may be wrong.
He's been D-line coach for forever, I think.
But you're confusing. You've got the two of them bring totally separate things to the table. I mean, Rocker's an elite developer of talent, and Rodney Garner's pretty good at developing talent, but he's an elite level recruiter at bringing in like high-end talent.
You're confusing Rodney with another retread All-Star. Lance Thompson, who I believe has coached at roughly half the schools in the SEC so far, and whose name has been bandied about as perhaps returning to Tennessee under Jeremy Pruitt.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. You ever heard
Lance?
That? Yeah.
Jesus.
And they all have the same rep.
If they bring him back, it's going to be the gravy train, isn't it?
They all have the same reputation. Great recruiter, knows the Saban defense, can coach. If you're a D-line coach, you can coach linebackers. If you're a linebackers coach, you can coach D-line. We just sort of shuffle you around. Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200. But, yeah, Shade Beamer, Bobo left him. Friend was there. Friend didn't even unpack his suitcase. He was there for like a week. And he's gone.
It's all Harsin at Auburn, right?
Rocker's gone. Yeah, they're all going to Brian Harsin. I get that, though. You leave South Carolina to go to Auburn, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Trey, any thoughts on this? And then we'll go to the phones.
No, let's go to the phone lines.
Jay is up first today on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys, do y'all see this possible where Kevin Steele ends up being the interim coach?
Yes. I see where he gets the job permanently. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I see a path in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, well, if he did, do you think he would be interim first, or do you think they could just name him permanent, like right out the gate?
Probably because interim first.
Chris Lowe said that If Fulmer would have had his choice and it had been his choice only, Kevin Steele would have been our coach, not Jeremy Pruitt.
Really?
That's what Lowe said. I was listening to the Swain event, Jason Swain's radio show, and he said that he believed that if it was solely 100% Fulmer's decision, it would have been Kevin Steele and not Pruitt, but there was a big time booster that, not that Fulmer didn't like Pruitt, but that there was a big time booster that wanted Pruitt over Steele.
I'm guessing that
and that's kind
Charlie
of what played the decision. Yeah, but if it was just Fulmer's decision, Lowe said that Steele would have been his choice.
Yeah, makes sense. And again, I go back to this is my theory. This is the feeling I am getting. I could be wrong. It happens not often, but occasionally. That Kevin Steele is here, and Fulmer sees this as his path to stay here. Kevin Steele obviously wants the job, and they're going to work in cahoots to try and pull the old switcheroo on us.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening.
Well, how smart do you think that is with – let's say we did go down that rabbit hole and we did name him interim coach for this upcoming year – how smart is that, given the fact of the season and the turmoil we're just coming off, number one, but given the fact that 2022 may be Tennessee's best in-state class in the last 10 years, and now you've got an interim coach that's trying to get these kids in the boat.
Yep.
I mean, that to me, and I know Steele's a great recruiter. Maybe he can sell ice to an Eskimo, and it doesn't matter. But I would think that gives you trouble trying to get this vaunted 2022 in-state class, getting these kids to come and commit to your school when you have an interim coach.
Well, of course,
and you're not Ohio State, where it was like Luke Fickell was your interim, but you had just come off of 10 years of great success with
yeah.
Kressel. I mean, I just don't see that being a smart move.
But again,
this is Tennessee, so that means we'll do it.
We were talking about this yesterday, Jay, and these coaches that have had elite success, Saban, Meyer, Steve Spurrier, even Johnny Majors, when they get to their program that they had to build, they had already been experienced. They had already been a head coach for a while. It's very rare that you have the situation like you're talking about at Ohio State with Ryan Day, or like Lincoln Riley is enjoying at Oklahoma, where they just hand the keys to the Ferrari off to the next guy, and all he's got to do is keep it between the ditches. Tennessee
right.
obviously is not in that situation. We're going to need somebody.
You need a war daddy.
We need a war daddy. We can't hire another inexperienced, unproven, no head coaching experience guy and just hope that we luck into something. You got to hire somebody that's been there before, that's built programs before, that's seen it before. And obviously, right. Kevin Steele, his experience as a head coach at Baylor was terrible. He's been around a little bit. But here's the thing, Jay. If we're hearing that they're not even going – Lane Kiffin and Hugh Freeze are off the table, not even going to pick up the phone and give them a call. And then the other narrative we're starting to hear this week is that apparently Brian the guy at Louisiana, Napier, that Billy Napier
yeah.
is not interested. Wouldn't even – he's holding out for Florida LSU. If that's correct, then I could see them saying, look, it's so unstable now. We don't know who our athletics director is. We might be looking at possible NCAA sanctions. We can't we're not hiring Lane Kiffin or Hugh Freeze under those circumstances. And Billy Napier doesn't want the job. What do you expect us to do? Kevin Steele is the best we can hope for. I could see that narrative being out there. What do you want? You want Doug Marrone? You want Bill O'Brien? Because we could do that. No, you don't want that, do you? Okay, well, you get Kevin Steele on an interim basis. We'll see how it goes. And who knows? Maybe he upsets Florida. Maybe he wins a couple of games. Maybe he gets some recruiting momentum because he is such a good recruiter, and they just take the interim label off after the fury dies down a little bit. Yeah, after spring practice. You know what? Hey, we're just going to roll with this guy. Let's see what happens. We'll give him a five-year contract. How about that?
Well, Russ, I guess if we did go down that road, we'd have to hope that he's our Ed Orgeron, you know. Great recruiter, builds a great staff around him and lets them do their thing. Kind of deal, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's basically what you would try to hope for. But to me, there's only one coach that I think we could get that's a consistent winner, and that's Hugh Freeze. He's won everywhere he's been. Jamie Chadwell could have a lot of potential, but, you know, this year at Coastal Carolina could also be a flash in the pan. I'm not saying it is, but, you know, there's no guarantee that if he coaches there next year, he's going to have another.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
I'm not sold on Jamie Chadwell. The story is cute. I like the East Tennessee tie, and they had a great season this year. But you look at the track record, it's like, man, it's just 1 year. He's so young, and he's never coached at anything approaching the level we're talking about here in Knoxville.
Right. Well, Russ, y'all have a good day, man.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. Good call.
See you.
Trey, your thoughts on Jay's call this afternoon, if any?
Just kind of bringing in the whole situation of stabilizing the program if something goes wrong. But then you have to look at the options. If we get far along, here's another thing too. I don't think and this is just my opinion here, I don't think the investigation is over just because they interview Pruitt and maybe make a decision on Saturday or Sunday. I think this thing is going to drag on. I think this thing goes into February.
Oh boy!
And then they will. What? Then they will have to.
The investigation goes into February.
Listen to me. Listen to me.
Okay.
Watch your tone. Don't clap at me, big boy.
I'm talking about that they can make their decision on Jeremy, and then this thing will have to be extended because,
okay. Yeah.
Hear me out, they have to put a case together to present the NCAA for yeah. self-imposing any kind of violations. That's what I'm getting at. Not like technically
okay. yeah,
all
I,
the
I
investigations.
See
where, yeah. Right.
Yeah, but firing Pruitt and cleaning house is a big part of that. It's like, because that's a big
right.
part of your showing to the NCAA when you go before them, because you're going to have to do that. People say, oh, the NCAA is not involved now. You just did this investigation. You're going to have to show the NCAA what you investigated, even if it doesn't amount to much. And
yeah.
So I don't think it's SMU death penalty, but I don't
no.
think it's like what Florida just did where they slapped Mullen on the wrist either. I think it's somewhere in between. And your best course of action to keep the NCAA off your campus is to clean house and go to them once you do wrap up the all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed, and say, look, we didn't know what was going on. As soon as we found out, we investigated thoroughly. We hired outside legal counsel. They got to the bottom of us. When we found out what happened, we were appalled, and we cleaned house immediately. We fired the head coach, fired all the assistants. We got rid of them all.
And give us- don't and don't let – here's one thing that I want to let people know. Don't let just because maybe one assistant coach's contract is going out and Pruitt's doing him a favor by letting his contract run out, don't make that seem like that he's technically not even being fired or brought back.
The hell does that mean?
Say that again.
It's going to look very obvious when Brian Niedermeyer's contract is not renewed, and they're going to be like, oh, okay, you know, Brian decided to go get a job in the NFL. What I'm getting at, if that's the case and he's caught up in this, there's a reason why he's not returning to Tennessee.
Yeah, but he's got a year left on his deal, right? His or no?
No,
his,
he doesn't. His
okay,
contract
okay.
ends.
Yeah, all right. Well, you don't have – you just
– that's pretty they're obvious to everybody except the glue eaters.
That's the thing. They're going to toss Lupa this situation if they have to. Lupa.
Tosh Lufa.
Him too.
The Lufa
LaPoy.
865-546-8200.
Like maybe what, Brian gets off. Maybe Niedermeyer gets off scot-free.
Yeah. You couldn't even make it through that take without giggling.
I'm sorry.
Boy, we loved that dude. Moose is going to go down all time. He'd be right up there with Donnie Tindall as a lovable cheater who just flew too close to the sun.
2019 Recruiter of the Year
yeah.
in his first year ever as an assistant coach.
Oh, man. Moose. Attaboy, Moose.
I love you, Moose. Let's print some t-shirts.
I love him, man. I hope he eats. Hey, man, he tried to make a splash, tried to do his thing.
Flew too close to the sun.
Got burned. Man,
he learned too much from Jeremy. That's what happened.
Let's go back to the phones, and Tony is next. Good afternoon, Tony. You're on the drive.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Not much. How you doing?
Good. This whole thing just kind of stinks to high heaven.
Doesn't it?
It just smells funky. Something's off.
What do you think it is?
Well, I guess if you look at it from an objective standpoint, I don't think anybody would argue that Kevin Steele is a great defensive coach.
Agreed.
But last year, there were two guys making $2.5 million. It was him and Sarkisian, highest paid assistants in college football, right?
He was making $2.5 million at Auburn. I don't
that's
know that.
I mean, that's
okay. Well,
yes, that's correct.
So, my point is, one guy got a blue blood Texas job, and the other guy is coming to work for a staff in a more junior role, and it just doesn't add up. There's got to be something wrong. Like, why would he? I don't see. I guess selling point.
One of them worked for Nick Saban and the other one worked for Gus Malzahn, man.
Yeah, I guess it's – why would he take a junior role? You're talking about a guy who is making that much money because he's a good coach, but also you pay somebody that much because you don't want him to leave. You fear he's going to get poached. So is the LSU DC's job's open? Like, why is he not interviewing there? Why would he take a junior role? Because it's not about the money. Why would he come onto a ship without having a conversation that says, hey, there's a chance in the near future you could move into the head coaching role?
I think you're spot on. And even if there isn't that conversation, Tony, you don't have to be a rocket surgeon to see that possibility. Kevin Steele's a smart guy. He knows that's possible. It's like, yeah, I could.
Yeah, but he also just tried to pull a coup on Gus Malzahn.
Well, there you go. There you go. This is that guy. This is his MO.
Not getting an interview.
Well, that and his staff got fired, and then Sark is from the Alabama staff. I mean, let's not compare apples to oranges here. He's an offensive guy. He's had successful head coaching experience, unlike Kevin Steele. He's younger, perceived to be a up-and-coming thing, whereas Kevin Steele is like, okay, his – I don't know that his time has passed, but his time to be considered an up-and-coming head coaching candidate is long past.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, are we assumed to believe that one of the highest sought-after defensive coaches in college football is going to move into a more junior role because he's got buyout money to work for a guy who's under investigation at just because it's his alma mater and because, like, go Rocky Top? That, I mean, it's just, I get it. Like, he's a good football coach, and we should be excited to have him on staff. But those pieces don't add up. I mean, even they're interviewing Barry Odom at LSU. He could go work for his buddy at Arkansas, go work for Sam Pittman in a team on the rise if he's looking to get a job. But there's got to be the conversation's been had that he's not going to be in a junior role. Mm-hmm. He's coming here because someone's opened the door for him to think that he's going to be the head coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a safe gamble, if that makes any sense. It's a safe gamble for Kevin Steele. He comes here and the worst case scenario is he's a $500,000 a year position assistant under Jeremy Pruitt next year. He could still leave. Like if Texas called up and said, hey, we want you to be our defensive coordinator, or somebody has said, we're going to pay you $1 million a year to be our DC, he could still leave and go do that. Contracts were made to be broken. Best case scenario is Jeremy Pruitt's about to get fired and he's going to be the interim coach with a chance to make it the permanent job.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And I think that I've bought into a little bit, but, you know, he just, you know, coup d'etat over at Auburn, and then now he's interviewing with Fulmer, who is the king of coups. It just seems a little, it seems a little convenient.
I mean, maybe they figure, like, listen, Fulmer's orchestrated a coup before successfully. Kevin Steele tried to orchestrate a coup, couldn't pull it off. Maybe he wants to come and learn from the master. Like, how do I make this work? Like, what do I need to do? Teach me.
Gosh. And then you add the fact that he probably finished second for the job just, you know, not long ago with Fulmer. It just seems like it's obvious from the outside looking in that, like, there's just more than what the eye sees, and that, like, we didn't just get one of the best defensive coaches out of nowhere because we made an unbelievable move.
Wow. Good stuff, Tony. Good stuff, my man. Anything else?
No, I'm good, man. You guys hang in there.
Thank you.
Thanks for everything you guys do, too.
Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Good phone calls to start us off this afternoon. We are off and running. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon, 546-8200. Portions of our show today brought to you by the fine folks at Logo Solutions. If your business or organization needs great products to help promote your brand, it's Logo Solutions, your one-stop shop located right here in Big Orange Country. Head over to LogoSolutionsInc.com to start shopping today. Over 1 million customizable products, including apparel, headwear, promotional product signs, banners, business cards, and more. If you've got a logo, they have a solution. It's Logo Solutions. Again, LogoSolutionsInc.com. Or call 865-966-3434 and ask for RB Logo Solutions. Right product, right price, right on time. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Trey Cruz along with you on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Let's go right back to the phones. Jeff is in Seymour. Hello, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Russell, and good afternoon, Bear. I hope you guys are doing okay.
What about Trey? Don't you hope he's
doing
well,
hey,
too?
Trey. How you doing, too, buddy? Anyway, though, I tell you what, isn't this so Tennessee? I mean, what do you expect after this last coaching search we had? We couldn't get it right. Now we can't even get a firing right.
Oh, man. Let's preach patience, right, Bear? We're being patient here. We might be getting the firing right. We might be doing the firing right for the first time in a long time. I know it's painful in the short term, but if we fire this guy for cause and we don't have to sit around and for the next 3 years whining about, oh, I can't believe we're paying Gump to coach down at Alabama, then maybe we did get it right.
I got to agree with what one of the guys said about that this search is probably not over. How about you, Five? It's going to go on longer. And I agree. I could see this going on in February, even March, as much as I don't want to see it. But nothing would surprise me at this place.
Yeah, it's amazing that we've gotten here, isn't it, Jeff? It's amazing that we're sitting here. Several days after the season is concluded, it's been well over 3 weeks since we've played. We're into basketball conference season. This should be all about the 2022 class. This should be about trying to get some early commitments, trying to get Ty Simpson in the boat, trying to get Aaron Hayden's kid in the boat, trying to get some momentum headed. And we're still trying to figure out not only who the coach is, but who's in charge and who's going to be making that decision.
I'm going to switch gears and talk a little bit of basketball. Does Tennessee and LSU, does that look like that's probably going to happen this Saturday?
Trey, I've not heard anything today about basketball. Who are we playing this weekend?
I think they're retesting Vanderbilt players today, and then we'll get a clear definition of where we're at by either tonight, first thing in the morning. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they play that game on Saturday against Vanderbilt. But also know that the SEC has a backup plan. It sounds like.
And you know, one thing too, you want to talk about coaches on the hot seat. Can you imagine how it is for Calipari right now? Because right now, I mean, we knew this day was coming, and it's been long overdue. And here it's finally starting to manifest itself. You can't have these one-and-done players every year and expect to do well. Eventually, it's going to catch, and it's finally done it this year. This team, this is one of the worst Kentucky teams I've seen in a long, long time. And they just look thin. And, I mean, they just – what Alabama did to them last night, I'm sure that they're not very happy up there today, and I'm sure that they're calling the Kentucky crisis line right now.
Well, now Alabama can really play. I would agree, though. Kentucky, they do not have that dominant point guard that Cal always has this year. And that's pretty obvious to see. But, I mean, Bama carved Kentucky up the way they carved us up. I mean, we're just a little bit better defensive team. So, we lost by 7 instead of 20. But, hey, Alabama's playing the best of any team in the league right now. I don't think anybody can debate that at this point.
Don't that make you mad that they've got the best college football team,
it's
and now all of a sudden
they
don't even care about basketball? They don't even care. And guess what? Here they are, and probably they're going to go further than us, and make it a Sweet 16 this year, and we'll be. And that's a shame, but it's probably more than likely that's what's going to happen.
Well, look, we'll see. We'll see. I want another shot at Alabama.
I do too. Yeah, because I want Springer healthy. Because yep. You know. That was a bigger difference in that game, you realize.
Well, and I think they caught us, I don't want to say napping, but we had just smoked Missouri on the road. Jimmy Dykes is talking about us being a Final Four team. Everybody's kind of feeling themselves a little bit. And Alabama came in here and tore our kingdom down. We weren't fully prepared for it, I don't think. And I'll bet you if we had played them again, they would get our best effort.
I know one thing for sure. I mean, that's one thing about basketball that's different than football. Sometimes you need a loss. Sometimes you kind of need to be humbled a little bit. And we may look back on that loss as something that they needed, because really you can tell they've kind of woken up now since that, and they're just beginning to play good basketball. Boy, this team, come March, boy, they're really going to be something to see with the way they play defense. It's going to be an interesting year for them when they get to tournament time.
Jeff, good stuff, my man. I'm going to get another phone caller in. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Let's get Phil in Wartburg, a rising star on the Knoxville Sports Radio caller scene after he shivved Jeremy Pruitt on Vol calls a couple of weeks ago. What's up, Phil?
Hey, guys, don't y'all have any faith at all? You know, we got Donde Plowman and Randy Boyd down there, and they're finally doing things that Tennessee would have never done in the past.
You have faith in Donde and Boyd.
Oh, yeah, Randy Boyd's a businessman. He knows where this is going. If they don't get this right, and, you know, they're hemorrhaging money right now, and he knows he can't continue like that.
Bear, do you have faith in Boyd and Plowman? Sounds like a no, Phil.
Yeah.
There's no way. No way. Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Boy, that was a ringing endorsement. Yeah, I guess so.
There's no way that they let Kevin Steele come in here and take over this program.
Watch out, Phil. We're getting the old switcheroo played on us right now. I've seen it a million times.
I got a bulldozer that belongs to a friend of mine. We can make a parking lot down there at Neyland Stadium if they want to keep playing games. I mean, come on. Surely they ain't that dumb.
Phil Wartburg just threatened to bulldoze Neyland Stadium into the Tennessee River. Wow. That escalated quickly.
I mean, surely they ain't that dumb, you know. Palmer, you know, God bless him, he's old and he's, you know, he's trying to keep his money flow, but you know, he's kinda out of the loop, I believe, and I think it's in Donde and Randy's hands, and I think they're gonna handle this, the whole situation, the right way for some reason. I got a good feeling about them too.
All right. Well, we'll see, Phil. I hope you are right. I think most of the listeners do as well. Thank you, Phil.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick timeout right here. When we continue, Alex Olive makes his debut with the top four at four. You ready, Alex?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Got it ready to go.
Stay with us. All the news coming up. More of your phone calls as well. Plus, Josh Pate, 247sports.com, drops by at the bottom of your 4 o'clock hour to give us his take on everything going on here in Big Orange Country and throughout the SEC. Stay tuned. Hour number two of The Drive coming up.
Moving this year? Hi, I'm Bo.